What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Down to the Wire, and we're finally here, Mason. We're finally at week one. Week zero this was this past weekend, so we got to, you know, get a little bit of taste of the college football season that's upcoming, but week one is finally here, man. What do you have to say for yourself about that?
It's been so long, Cam, but we finally made it. I was starting to question myself a little bit if I was going to have to dip out and watch some XFL or something, but no, stayed strong, made it all the way to week zero. And of course, week zero, disappointed per usual, but hey, we made it.
Listen, I will say the Vandy-Hawaii game was actually a good game. I don't know if you watched it. There was a delay because Vandy just can't do anything right. And it was just hilarious seeing that their scoreboard is being held up by a freaking crane right now because there are no plans whatsoever, apparently, from these smart people at Vanderbilt to be like, oh, hey, you know what? We should probably start our football construction like super early in the spring. That way it's either ready or close to being ready by the time football season gets here. But
yeah, and Hawaii's players are in a locker room that's actually
in a freaking tent.
I mean, come on, Vandy, do something right, please.
Awful, absolute awful. So that happened. So let's go ahead and start. I mean, were there any takeaways from you for any of the games in week zero? I mean, obviously, Notre Dame destroyed Navy in Dublin, and USC kind of struggled for a half, but obviously pulled away. And then Vandy was played Hawaii down to the wire. You know, any thoughts?
So, look, it's hard to take stuff away from these games. Yes, San Jose State put up 28 on USC. That is what it is. My big one is Navy. Why the hell is Navy still running the triple option in freaking 2023? What are we doing
at this point? That's what all the service academies do.
What are we doing at this point, man? Come on. It's time to update a little bit.
Listen, they were like really good with the triple option a few years ago. They just need a quarterback or something. I don't know.
I mean, come on. But I mean, look, it's Notre Dame. They looked good on offense. It made me really jealous that somehow Sam Hartman decided to go there instead of Alabama. But I'll just leave that there. But yeah, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot to take away from it, for being honest.
Yeah, I mean, there really wasn't. I mean, the media went crazy over Notre Dame destroying Navy and how good Sam Hartman was. I mean, he looked good. I didn't really get to watch much because by the time I could watch, it was a complete blowout. So why would I want to watch any more of it? But I mean, playing in Dublin is cool. It's also Navy, and they were really bad last year, and they have a new coach, and they're still pretty bad. So I mean, I don't know how much you take away from it. I think the thing you take away from it with Notre Dame is like, hey, they finally have like a really good quarterback. And so we'll see how that what that does for them. I mean, the other, like, if there was any takeaway for me, it was, at least for right now, and maybe this is just hyperbolic, but our fears of the USC defense are still there.
Yeah, definitely.
And if that's what they got all season, they for sure are not making the playoff.
Yeah, the problem with USC right now is they were really, really bad last year on defense. So they have to make up for that. And if they want to get to where they want to be this year, they have to just be above average or average at best. And if we're being real, that was not an average or above average performance. That was, instead of really, really bad, it was just a bad performance. So
yeah, I mean, it was like a 6 or 7 point game at halftime.
Yeah,
that's not what you want starting off first game of the season against San Jose State. I mean, that's not what you want. So yeah, well, week zero is, thank God, in the books. We don't have to really spend too much time on it because, again, it's week zero. It really doesn't exist. The games don't really matter. Let's just like get rid of it. Like, why do we even need it? Why do we have these games? I mean, it's just, it's stupid. And I said the same thing last year on the record. Okay. Mason, we're going to get into some news that I was pretty pissed about. And I think you've been waiting all week for this.
So hold on. So the big story coming out of week zero is actually what you're about to talk about. So I'm going to let you hop on your soapbox and you just take it from there.
Why don't you just go ahead and tell everybody what the news is, and then I'll get into my soapbox.
So everybody's getting excited for the LSU Florida State game. Mason Smith making his comeback. It's supposed to be a big season for him. And then, boom, the NCAA comes out. They're suspending him for week one against Florida State. So what was your immediate reaction to that? And still, where are you now? Mason. Okay.
Oh, Mason. You know, when I saw it, I was like, the immediate thoughts that were in my head was, are you freaking kidding me? And it wasn't freaking that I had in my brain, okay? Like, are you kidding me? And so, like, I saw, like, the notification pop up on my phone before I went to bed. And then I went to bed. I was like, just kind of like, oh, whatever. Then I woke up. I'm like, okay, let's listen to see what, you know, what happened, what's the deal and all that. Come to find out, Mason, that the NCAA decided to have a power trip because they have really no power anymore on college athletes with NIL. And they decide, you know what? Let's go back 2 years ago for a autograph session that this guy was a part of that was could be days or a week or a few weeks before NIL took effect. We're going to pop this guy with a one-game suspension over making money for signing autographs after he was out basically all year with an ACL tear last season. And you know what? You know what? No, we're just going to pop you with a game. You're going to have to wait one more week to come back. Don't care if you were injured all year. And you know what? We're fools now because we couldn't come up with this NIL stuff and had to go to court and all this stuff for all this to go through. And they just have this huge power trip. So you know what? We don't care about student athletes. Give this guy a one game suspension. Are you freaking kidding me, Mason? Now, here's the thing. Like, okay, like personally, I would maybe understand it if it was like, oh, hey, like some sort of pay for play type thing happened to where before the kid signed, he does an autograph session and then he gets some money and he commits to a certain guy's school. That I can maybe get. But we're talking about a guy that was already on campus, had already gone through spring practice, was in June before his freshman season, and he's signing autographs with his name, which is the whole freaking point of NIL, being able to do this stuff. And you know what? The NCAA is, you know what? Screw the athlete. This doesn't hurt anybody but the athlete. Give him one game suspension. And there are worse cases, Mason, just this offseason. There's a transfer that, oh, what team is he? Did he transfer to? I think it's like maybe Florida State or maybe like Clemson or something. Basically a player that transferred out like two times during the COVID years where his football programs didn't play football. He then blew up at Kent State and then transferred and wanted to have 1 year extra eligibility. And the NCAA is like, you know what? No, screw you. You don't get to play. And then this comes out. They're like, you know what? Screw Mason Smith. He doesn't get to play for a game. Freaking Johnny Manziel. Did you watch the Johnny Manziel documentary? Homeboy had the same thing and made way more money, and they suspend him half a game. And Mason Smith gets a full game.
Oh, Cam. Look,
this is potentially one of the biggest games of the season, Mason, and he's out because of this bull crap that the NCAA, who has their butt hurt because they can't enforce these kind of policies on new stuff anymore. You know what? Oh, this guy made some money signing autographs. Sorry about it. We got to suspend you a game. You know, it's all about the players. All about the players.
Look, I can't even get my thoughts together. I think the NCAA is still tripping about how John Harbaugh reacted to all their stuff, making an absolute joke out of him. So then they have to come out. They have to stomp their feet just a little bit. And then Mason Smith just happened to be in the crossfire of it. This suspension is a joke. I completely agree with you. My immediate reaction when I saw this was, I'm going to give Cam a couple hours before I actually text him and see how he feels about it. But man, this is a tough loss for potentially the biggest, one of the biggest games of the season. Not even just week one in general, just of the season.
I mean, these are two teams that have legit playoff contention aspirations, and the loser of this game has to win out. And so you're put in an immediate disadvantage. And you're taking out one of the best players. He's going to be a top draft pick. He's going to be a first-round draft pick. He's that kind of talent. And he's going to be taken out because of the NCAA having a power trip. I don't know if you saw this, Mason, and this is, I don't know if how much of this is on the NCAA. I mean, they're obviously involved because Arizona State is trying to save face and not have, you know, the death penalty, obviously. But Arizona State just came out yesterday. This is a week before the season. And they're going to be like, you know what we're going to do? Postseason bowl ban. A week before the season, you're going to tell all those kids on that team, all the seniors on that team with a new coaching staff, you know what? Doesn't matter what you do, we're not going to the postseason. Week before the season. Why not say this at like beginning of summer or in the spring? But you're going to wait the week before after they went through all of fall camp. And again, this is to like please the NCAA. Be like, hey, here's our offering. Please don't hurt us too much. Because the NCAA just thinks they're God in these situations.
I will say I am very ready for the NCAA to be disbanded.
You know, like, I have never been one that has been like, I hate the NCAA and they need to be destroyed and get rid of them. I've never really been that guy. But the more and more stuff that comes out these past couple years, man, with the stuff that they do and the things that they hold over programs' heads so they get what they want.
Yeah.
And the worst things they actually do to athletes that do not service the athletes whatsoever. Like, I'm at the point, it's like, hey, get rid of them. They are literally pointless. They're doing everything they can even to potentially even destroy March Madness by talking about adding more teams. I mean, it's an absolute disgrace what this organization has done to these various sports.
Oh my gosh.
It really is awful what this organization has done with thinking about expanding the NCAA basketball tournament and all the rules that they're trying to go back on these NCAA football regulations and all. Like, it really is awful, and I'm ready for them to be destroyed. I mean, you even hear this from other people that aren't even into sports. You go to politics, it's like, hey, is there any organization in the world that does the things that the NCAA does legally that they can get away with? The answer is no. The answer is no, because they're in a class of their own with what they do.
But yeah, look, like I was saying earlier, man, the NCAA, they've just been on such a power trip for so long now. Like, at this point, man, I'm ready for them to go. I know a lot of people are. I'm interested to see what other steps we take in the direction of disbanding the NCAA, but where we go after that. Like, I know everybody's been talking about like two power conferences from there, but I don't know who's going to be the top dogs to take over the NCAA, or is it just going to be like a university led thing at this point?
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to that, who freaking knows, but let's just start the process. Just cut the head off the snake. Cause they're awful. They're so bad. And, we're all ready for them to go. Okay. I think that's enough for me and my complaining and whining. And I think you had a good time listening to me ranting, baby. I know you always do.
Always.
So, let's go ahead and get into week one, man. So, if you listened to us last year, this is a segment that we are bringing back, and that is fantasy lineup. So, Mason, for those that might not remember or that are new listeners, I don't know what's about to happen. Why don't you go ahead and explain what we're doing, and we'll get into it.
So basically what we do is we put together a fantasy lineup of Power 5 conferences. We do kind of trickle outside into the G5, but normally it's for the higher name teams and everything like that. So we do our scoring as PPR. So that's points per reception. So you get 1 point for every catch that you get. You get 1 point for every 10 yards. For your skill positions, you get 6 points for a touchdown for your skill positions. And then for your quarterbacks, you get 1 point for every 25 passing yards. You get 4 points for a touchdown and so on and so forth from there. So basically how we do it is you get a quarterback, you get a running back, wide receiver, tight end, and you get a flex position. And basically we go through. So this week I got to pick my roster first. So I picked my five guys, then Cam got to pick his five guys. And then from there on, whoever wins the previous week, they get the first pick from there. And after you select a guy on your roster, you won't be able to pick him again for the rest of the season until championship week. Then we make some adjustments from there on. But yeah, that's the gist of it.
Yeah, and a couple other rules. So like Mason said, we usually kind of stick to Power 5 teams. They have to – the teams that – players that you can pick from have to be on a Power 5 team, and they have to play Power 5 competition or in-conference play. So if you pick a G5 team, they have to be playing in-conference or be playing another Power 5 team. You can't pick a Power 5 team that plays a G5 school, though. So if you pick a G5 – you have a little bit of a disadvantage because you have to pick, they either have to play a conference game or another or a Power 5 team. Also, you can't pick two players from the same team. So Mason can't pick Marvin Harrison Jr. and Amika Ibuka for his wide receiver and flex. It has to be one player per team. Once that team's picked, you can't pick another player. So it makes it a little bit more challenging. And again, like Mason said, once you pick your one player, can't pick him the rest of the season until championship/bowl season. So last year, Mason was the champion of the fantasy. I think he won by 2 games or 3 games it ended up being. I need to get my revenge this year on our fantasy stuff. So why don't you go ahead and take it away, Mason, on what your lineup is for this first week of college football season.
So last year, I started off hot. I'm looking to recapture that magic and stay on top again for another season. So a little peek behind the curtain. Before we start every episode, we kind of talk things through. So we talk through our fantasy lineup so we don't get them mixed up with each other. I told you I was going to keep my quarterback a secret from you until we got here. So I will still save that for last. So running back. I'm going with Travion Henderson from Ohio State. I believe they're playing Indiana, if I'm not mistaken. And they just named a new starting quarterback. So in my eyes, I think they're going to try and be a little more run heavy. I know they have two awesome wide receivers. But when you have a new starting quarterback, you're playing kind of a weaker team. Most teams kind of want to get it going on the ground first. So that's why I went with him. My wide receiver is going to be Johnny Wilson from Florida State. Look, LSU, they have a good defense, but I feel like they are just a little bit vulnerable in their secondary, and he is a very good wide receiver, and Jordan Travis, his quarterback, coming back another year, so I think he could have a big game. At tight end, I went with Trey Knox from South Carolina. They're playing North Carolina this week, and I just wanted to get a piece in that game. So I went with him at my tight end. Also, tight end landscape's a little bare, so I wanted to kind of get started. Nice with it.
Whenever we go through this season, guys, you're going to be hearing names that you would never hear of when it comes to the tight end position, because towards the end of the season last year, we were just like scrambling around trying to find people. it's a little bare out there in the tight end world.
And so for my flex position, I went with Elijah Green, the running back for North Carolina. He was all right last year, but like I said, the North Carolina-South Carolina game, it's going to be a dogfight. I predict there's going to be a lot of scoring in that game, so I'm hoping that Elijah Green can kind of pull something out for me. And for my quarterback, the big reveal. I told you before we started this is probably going to be the only week that I would ever be able to pick him and feel okay about. And that's why I'm going with prime time junior Shador Sanders as my quarterback, University of Colorado Buffs, taking on TCU, and I'm excited. So I don't have anything else to say. He's going to put up numbers, and I can't wait.
Mason, man, you're really going out on a limb here. Going out on, yeah. You're really hoping that these other players just carry you to the win, I guess. I mean, I just.
No, he's going to pull through for me. I believe in all my heart. He's putting up four touchdowns. True TCU. One hit wonder.
Four touchdowns. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. That's good, Mason. That's good. I would have never guessed it, honestly. Would have never guessed it.
I knew you wouldn't. That's why I wasn't worried. I knew you wouldn't.
All right. So I'm not going to – I told Mason that the hardest player that I had to pick was quarterback because there aren't a ton of Power 5 on Power 5 matchups this week, unfortunately. And then a lot of them have players that I'm going to want to pick later in the season and don't just want to throw away. But I ended up feeling like I had to throw this one away early. So hopefully this ends up with me getting a W. And I'm not going to hold it till the end. So my quarterback, Mason, is going to be Cade Klubnik from Clemson. I'm going to starting out early. We got to get the win to start the season. So you know what? I'll just go Cade Klubnik. At running back, guns are still blazing, Mason. I'm going with Nick Singleton from Penn State. All right. But one of the best, if not the best, running back in the country. And they're going to run all over West Virginia. And then at wide receiver, you know, you got to have Tennessee in here somewhere with how high-flying their offense is and how terrible of a team that Virginia is. So I'm going with Brew McCoy at wide receiver for TCU. He's their leading receiver returning. So I'm going with him. At tight end, you had never heard of this guy, and neither had I until I looked it up. It's Brevin Spanford from Minnesota. I looked him up, Mason. He's like a top five projected tight end in the NFL draft for next year. So that's why I picked him. Don't know anything else about him, but hopefully he can get some points for me as they play Nebraska in week one. And then at my flex, this should be a player that was close to your heart, Mason. Old Trey Sanders, the Alabama transfer at TCU.
What a guy. What a guy.
Former five-star. What happened,
Mason? If you beat me because of him, I'll accept it. I'll be okay with it. He's one of the very few players that have transferred from Alabama that I'm still going to root for.
You know, is this going to be the year, Mason, where Bama transfers just like crush your heart every week? Do I need to pick a new Bama transfer every week for them to beat you in fantasy? Because I'll do
that. That would be unfortunate. That would be
because you know what? One of your favorites, Aaron Anderson, he's going to be kickoff and punt returner for the Tigers this year. He might run one back this weekend.
If he does that, I'll probably cry. But you know,
I'll just send you that GIF on loop whenever it happens to somebody. Okay,
just randomly. Okay. All right,
guys. So that's the fantasy lineups for us. And one of the reasons why we do this, I mean, obviously it's fun for us. It's a little competition for us to see who's better at picking players and coming up with rosters and all this stuff. But it's also to give you guys, the listeners, on players to look out for during the games. I mean, there are players that we're going to list that maybe you haven't heard of before. I mean, I don't know how many people have heard of Brew McCoy from Tennessee or heard of Trey Knox from South Carolina. Trey Knox played at Arkansas and transferred over to South Carolina this year. There are players that you might not know. And so I think this is a really good way for us to kind of highlight those players for you just to kind of watch out for as you're watching the games this weekend. So keep up with these players. And if you want to, give us some players that you think we should look out for in the next week whenever we do fantasy. And we'll see if we can do a feature for it. So. Mason, this is going to be a pretty quick episode, relatively speaking, obviously for us, since we go forever long most of the time, but it's week one and we've already done our full offseason preview. So it's really time to get into the games and we're going to have a lot to talk about, I'm sure, next week once a lot of these games are over. Talk reaction from LSU and Florida State. We'll be talking Florida, Utah, and all these other games that we're going to be making picks on. So we'll be getting into it a lot these coming up weeks, but since first game of the week, first week of the season, let's just go ahead and get into our picks. And so you might have won fantasy last year, Mason, but I won picking games through the whole season that included bowl season. It ended up at the end of the regular season, at the end of conference championship weekend, you were ahead, I think, by a game or two, and you had a rough bowl season. I mean, yeah, rough.
It was not my best performance.
You went 6-15 in bowl season, whereas I went 13-8. So I ended up with a 5-game lead for first place. And so it was really rough. I had finished even at 67-67, and you finished 62-72-5. So pretty rough. You would have lost money over the whole season, Mason. You did pretty good. We were neck and neck all year, and then once bowl season got here, you just killed you.
That was funny. It felt like every week we would basically just switch the top position. Basically, like one week you'd be winning, the next week I'd be winning, and then we just kept flipping.
Yeah,
you got me at the end.
So, hey, I can pick games. That's good for me. So for those that don't know, we don't just pick games straight up. We pick against the spread. And so we did have 5 ties last year. That just means that they're pushes. So if a game was, hey, Louisville's supposed to be a 7-point favorite, and they went at directly on 7 points, it's a push. Nobody wins, so it's a tie. So it is against the spread, not straight up winners, because I feel like that's a little too easy. And sometimes it's fun to pick outrageous spread games to see if somebody can cover 20 million points. So we'll go ahead and get into the first game of week one that I think everybody's been looking forward to just based off of last year's game. And it's going to be Florida going to Utah. Utah is a 6.5-point favorite in this one. Question on Cam Rising. He was actually going to be my pick at quarterback, Mason, but nobody knows if he's going to play from the ACL tear that he had in the Rose Bowl. So it's really tight-lipped. No one knows he's going to play. And so how much does that affect this game? I don't know. Utah's still a 6.5-point favorite, and I think deservedly so. I think they're much better than Florida. But what do you think on this?
So, like you said, the rumor out of Utah is that Cam Rising might not be playing, but I think even more important than that is that their backup is also hurt right now too, so they might be trying to take on Florida with their third string right now, which I hate so much because I was so looking forward to this game. This is a great game to start off on the Thursday night, but man, like, it kind of loses some of its luster with losing your 1 and 2 quarterback going into the game for Utah.
Yeah, it's rough. It makes it really rough, which then also kind of makes it really interesting that the line is still 6.5, that it hasn't really shifted a lot. So that also kind of makes you think, okay, what's the validity to some of these rumors? How hurt are some of these guys? Who freaking knows? So let's go ahead and get a pick, Mason. Are you going to take Utah on the points, or are you going to go Florida?
I am actually surprisingly going to be scared off by the potential injuries, and I'm actually going to rock with Florida this one. I don't feel great about it, but those two injuries do scare me a little bit.
I totally get that. You think they went outright, or are you just taking them in the points?
I'm just taking them with the points.
Taking them with the points. Yeah, I mean, I totally get that. I just think Utah is just way better than Florida, and I think playing at Utah is going to be a huge deal for Florida. So I'm actually going to take Utah covering the 6.5 week one. And hopefully that means that either Cam Rising or the backup is playing. that would make me way more comfortable about it. But if they are playing with
it's a rough game to pick.
Yeah. I mean, if they're playing with their third string, then I feel like it's a pick 'em type game for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely agree.
So we have another Thursday night game, and I don't know how on the radar this one is for people, but it's Nebraska going on the road to Minnesota. This is around the same time that the Florida-Utah game is going on, so you'll have two games to look at. Game one of the Matt Rhule era there in Lincoln and going to PJ Fleck and the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Minnesota is a 7-point favorite in this game. What are your thoughts?
Man, this one was a tough one for me because I really, really, really like Matt Rhule. I think he's going to do a great job at Nebraska. I just don't necessarily feel like it's going to be off to a hot start. I think Minnesota has a solid team, especially with PJ Fleck being there. So I think I would actually lean Minnesota. But that one scares me too. I'm not feeling too good about either of the first two I've thrown out so far.
Yes.
But yeah. Think I'd go Minnesota.
7 points is a good bit, for first game of the season with it being a conference game. It is a line that really wants you to pick Nebraska, I feel like, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
It really is. It's just, you know, Matt Rhule is obviously a great coach, but you have questions of, okay, he has a transfer quarterback. Everybody's still trying to learn a new system. First game of this, like, you would feel, I think, way better about this game. This was, like, maybe week two or week three, so that Matt Rhule could have a game to, like, actually get his feet wet at Nebraska, but starting off early at Minnesota is really rough. And like you said, PJ Fleck has a solid program, a solid team this year, a team that some people are thinking could really compete for the Big Ten West. So I think I'm going to go with Minnesota as well. Wouldn't be surprised if this ended up being a push and a tie with the 7 points, but I think it's going to be a really good game. Next one is probably another one that people aren't really having their eye on. It's Louisville at Georgia Tech. These were two teams that have been in the gutter in recent years, but they start off against one another. Louisville with a new head coach. I think Georgia Tech has a new coach as well. So two new head coaches at these two schools. Louisville going on the road to Atlanta. I think they're actually playing in the Dome. I don't think they're playing at the campus stadium, which is like right down the road anyway. Excuse me. Anyway, so Louisville is a 7.5 point favorite in this one. What do you think?
I think the big question for me right now, actually, with Louisville is the fact that you just lost Malik Cunningham, who has some of the best stats in program history at quarterback. So how do you adjust to life with a new guy? Malik Cunningham was awesome for them while he was there. So it's going to be interesting to see how they develop other guys behind him. So I actually think that I'm going to lean Georgia Tech in this one. I think it's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for Louisville.
Okay, yeah, that's an interesting pick there, Mason. I do also want to note that Georgia Tech is also looking for a new quarterback as Jeff Sims transferred to Nebraska. Actually, so a little note there for you. I'm going to go Louisville. I think a lot of people are picking Louisville to be a really good, sneaky team, and part of it has to do with their schedule. They don't play Clemson, they don't play a lot of the top teams in the ACC starting out the year. So a lot of them are picking them to be good. And I think with their new coach and Jeff Brohm, who came from Purdue, he knows how to develop quarterbacks. He knows offense. And so I think he's going to do really well at Louisville. So I'm actually going to go to Louisville covering the 7.5 against the sad Yellow Jackets. You know, remember when they played with the triple option and were actually really good? I remember. Good times.
Look, they, unlike Navy, they decided to rebrand themselves. And
it hasn't worked out. It hasn't worked out for them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's not working out for Navy either. So,
next one. This is kind of a throwaway game that I really wanted to add. Stanford at Hawaii. Hawaii had a strong showing against Vanderbilt this past week. Since they had a week zero game, they obviously have a leg up on teams that don't. So they play Stanford at home, and Stanford is a 3.5 point favorite on this one. Mason, who do you like?
How down bad do you have to be as a program to only be a 3.5 point favorite against Hawaii? That concerns me a little bit for Stanford, but I'm going to take a different direction and say that Stanford's going to try and put on a performance for the ACC to make them look a little bit better for when they join the conference. So I'm going to go with Stanford.
Absolutely not. And how dare you bring up conference realignment in this, Mason? How dare you? I think that Hawaii is actually going to beat Stanford and make them just look even more foolish than they already are. These smart nerds don't care about their athletics programs at all. And I think Hawaii, with them still with their momentum that they got against Vandy. I mean, how much better do you think Stanford is than Vandy? And Hawaii should have won that game, okay? I'm going Hawaii because they're at home and for the people of Maui. Okay, let's freaking go.
Oh, Stanford.
Gosh. All right, next we have our first neutral site game, and that is Virginia against Tennessee. You know, Mason, when they first did and signed this game, you know, you were probably thinking, wow, this could actually be a really good game, Virginia and Tennessee. And now that it's finally here, it's like, I mean, it's football. I mean, it's a game, but how good of a game is it going to be? I wouldn't get my hopes up too much. Tennessee is a 28-point favorite in this game, Mason.
Oh, 28
points.
That's a big number.
It's a huge number. So how are you going to pick it?
Oh, my goodness.
New quarterback with Joe Milton. Replacing Cedric Tillman and Jalin Hyatt. Virginia was also awful on offense and lost their top two wide receivers. They never really had a running game. I mean, it's like bad offensive team with a good, decent defense against a team that, hey, they are replacing their stars, and we'll have to see how good they are. So
I think if this game was actually a neutral site, get that Nashville crap out of here, I would lean towards Virginia. But since Tennessee is only going to be traveling about 10 minutes to actually get to the game, I will be going with Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, 28
points, God, that's a big number.
28 points is huge. I mean, that's not usually something you see in Power 5 games like this, unless it's like Ohio State, Bama, and Georgia. Yeah. You don't usually see that. But I'm still taking Tennessee in the points, man. I think Virginia is horrible. And I don't know how much better they're going to get offensively losing their top two pass catchers. Tony Elliott, the used to be great offensive mind over at Clemson, now head coach of Virginia. It's not looking good for you, bud. So hopefully you can at least maybe keep it within the 28. But I mean, there's no way they're winning this game. So
yeah, no chance they win. But 28, man. If you get beat by 28 in week one, God, that's just tough.
Hey, that's ACC football, Mason. Okay.
With Stanford coming in, baby.
They fit right in.
Only coming up. Only going up from here for the ACC.
Oh, man. Okay, let's go to another game. So your second favorite team in the Colorado Buffaloes, with Deion Sanders finally making his debut, going on the road to the runners-up in college football last year, the TCU Horned Frogs. TC is a 20.5-point favorite in this one. Talk about tons of points. 20.5. I'm guessing you're going to Colorado, right?
Oh, you know I'm going with the Buffs, baby. Look, Deion's going to come out. He wants to make a statement. TCU is a solid stage. Like you just said, they're the runner-ups in college football last year. So my guy's going to come out. He's going to put up some points. Probably not win the game. I'm not going to get ahead of my skis on that one. But they will definitely cover the 20 points.
Dude, I think they're going to get demolished. I really do. I just don't think they have the players or the depth at Colorado to compete with a pretty good TCU. TCU lost a lot of players on offense. I get that. But they still have one of the nation's best corners. They have good players that transferred in on offense. Like, TCU is going to cover the 20.5. I think they win by 4 touchdowns. But I won't be surprised.
Look, this is probably going to be, like I said, my only week to celebrate Colorado. Okay, so maybe next week I'll be off the soapbox.
You might come on a podcast whenever they finally win a game and just be like parading around, having champagne, everything going on, you know, during the podcast.
You might see me bring on that dang buffalo onto this podcast. I'll have him in my background.
Okay, let's move on. Our last game with a huge spread that we have is West Virginia at Penn State. West Virginia with their coach being on the Uber hot seat. Penn State supposed to have a really good season. They're a 20.5-point favorite. Who you got?
So this game actually really worries me. I do think that Penn State is going to win this game probably fairly easily. The problem that I see with this game for Penn State is the fact that, like we've talked about all offseason, that they're a ground and pound team. They have two really good running backs. They want to try and enforce their will on the ground. So to me, that's a recipe for a tighter game than 20 points. So I could see them winning kind of like around the 14 to 17 area. So I'm actually going to take West Virginia in the points in this game.
Okay, West Virginia in the points. That's interesting, Mason. 20.5 is big. It's a big number. West Virginia lost some weapons last year, even lost their quarterback. And Neil Brown, like I said, is as hot as a seat can get at the beginning of the year. I mean, if he loses his first two or first two of his first three games, I mean, you could talk about being fired. I mean, we were talking about that with Jimbo Fisher. Neil Brown's seat is infinitely hotter. I mean, if things go south really fast, he's gone. But this Penn State team is really good. Their defense is really good. I think it's going to be the kind of game where they're going to feel like they can ease Drew Aller in into the game. And maybe see what I can do. And I just think they're going to be able to impose their will on West Virginia, man. I just believe that. So I think they're actually going to cover the 20.5. So I'm going to go Penn State. All right, Mason, the game that you were talking a good bit about in our fantasy lineups, the Battle of the Carolinas, North Carolina, South Carolina in Charlotte. It's a neutral site. South Carolina is a 2.5-point favorite in this one. Should be a really, really good game. What should be one of the top games of the weekend. What are your thoughts on North Carolina, South Carolina?
Yeah, I mean, so this is the game day game, right? So we're going to be right there off the bat. I'm very excited for this game, honestly, because I like North Carolina this year, and I also think South Carolina can have a really good season. The battle of the quarterbacks is going to be interesting. You have Drake May on one side, Spencer Rattler on the other side. It's going to be back to how it was last year. Like, can Spencer Rattler kind of recreate some of that magic that they had going on at the end of the season? Then you have Drake May. Can he capitalize on where he was last year and kind of go up from there? I'm actually going to take North Carolina in this game. I think their offensive firepower is going to be a little bit too much for South Carolina to compete with. And I think North Carolina's defense might be a little bit improved from where it was last year. So I'm going to lean North Carolina.
Not so fast, my friend. My team, the South Carolina Gamecocks, and Spencer Rattler with Shane Beamer, okay, are going to win and start this year off with a bang, okay? You know, they're my second favorite team now because of the office recreation scene that they did on social media. If you haven't seen it, it's great. You should go watch it. And it just confirms what I've thought about him. I love Shane Beamer. He's great. And South Carolina is going to beat North Carolina because just because I said so. I mean, it's just – that's how it's going to be. Now, honestly, I think South Carolina, I just think they probably have a little bit more weapons, and I think their defense is going to be a little bit better. North Carolina is going to want to pass the ball a lot. They're not a huge running team, which I think fits really well into what South Carolina can do defensively. I think that's going to work out for them. So I like South Carolina to start off early with a win in Charlotte. Before we get to my game, let's go ahead and skip to Monday night and let's go to the last college game of Labor Day weekend. Let's go Clemson at Duke. And all offseason, people have been saying this could be a potential trap game for Clemson with Duke and how good they were last year. I think Duke won like 8 or 9 games last year, really good with Mike Elko as the head coach. And so, you know, first game of the season being a true road game at Duke, Clemson's a 13-point favorite in this one, Mason. Are you buying the hype of Duke or buying the danger that is Duke when it comes to Clemson going there, or what do you think?
So I've been in on Clemson all offseason, and I'm not changing that right now, so I'm definitely taking Clemson in the points. I will say Duke does have a pretty solid defense, so that is where I can see the trap being. Like, you have a good defense at Duke. Clemson's offense wasn't great last year, but you're coming in new system this year. So I could see them kind of starting off just a little bit slow in like the first half or something. But I do think Clemson's going to pull this game out, man. I don't see a world where Duke really stays close with them.
I agree with you in that Clemson's going to win the game, but I think Duke keeps it within the 13. I think it's going to be one. I think it's just going to be probably one of those classic games of it wasn't as close as the score is showing. Like, I think Clemson will probably win by like 10, but it's going to feel like they won by like 3 or 4 touchdowns or something like that. I mean, we have all those kind of classic games all the time. I think that's going to be kind of how it is. But with Duke being at home and how good their defense is, I think they keep it within the 13. But I think Clemson does win, and I think they win fairly comfortably. All right, Mason, the game of the weekend. It could be the game of the season. Neutral site in Orlando, LSU Florida State rematch from the craziness that happened last year in New Orleans. LSU is a 2.5-point favorite in this one, Mason. Go ahead, give me your thoughts. Big game.
All right, so you had me for a very long time this offseason. I was going to pick LSU. I wasn't even going to think twice about it. But then my guy got suspended, and it really persuaded me to start leaning towards Florida State. So I'm taking Florida State in this game. I just think that losing somebody like that, I know LSU has insane depth on their D-line, but when you have a guy like that who's supposed to possibly be a top 5 pick, just to a suspension, man, like, I think that's going to be a tough thing to deal with, especially when you have an offense like Florida State coming in. I mean, they have so many guys coming back. You have your quarterback coming back. You have probably your 2 best skill positions coming back in Johnny Wilson and Trey Benson. So I just think it's going to be a really tough game for LSU when you lose when you lose Mason Smith like that, because last year Florida State was just a really good running team. They had like a 3-headed monster last year, and then you have some of those guys coming back, man. I just think it's going to end up being a really tough game for LSU. I think the key for LSU is going to be Jaden Daniels and his development as a quarterback and not just as a runner. If he can come out and he can put on a show through the air and on the ground, then I think LSU will definitely win. I'm not too confident in that right now, but I'm sure you have your thoughts on that. So I'm going to take a step back and just say that I'm going with Florida State.
Oh, Mason. Poor, poor Mason. Listen, this just shows me that you never wanted to pick LSU in this game. Okay. Yes, Mason Smith is one of the top players in the country. But, dude, we got plenty of depth at the defensive line. That's not the biggest deal in the world. Would it have been great to have Mason Smith? Yes, it would have. But LSU is going to win this game. And here's why. We're just better. We were better last year. We were better last year and came up with a freaking blocked extra point at the end of the game from tying it, going into overtime, and then winning it in overtime. Okay, we're just a better team. Here's the keys to the game. Can LSU get off the field on defense on third down? Last year, Jordan Travis killed us on third down, and that was really the story all year long for this defense. Can you get off the field on third down? Can our defensive backs hold up well enough? They obviously won't be able to do shutout, won't be able to have greatest defensive effort ever, but if they can just get some stops on the outside, you know, be competitive on the outside with Johnny Wilson and the rest of the guys at wide receiver for Florida State, I think they'll be fine. Offensively, this offensive line, Mason, is going to be one of the best in the country. It's being under-talked and undervalued by everybody. I don't know if it'll be as good as Bama's or as Georgia's, but this is going to be a really, really good offensive line with these guys coming back. I think they're going to be able to run the football, and I think Malik Nabers is going to go off. Last year, we were all wondering when Kayshon was going to go off in this game. And then kind of Malik Nabers had his flashes. This year, it's a, hey, Malik has already gone off, and he's going to go off again because he's that good of a receiver. And then it's just going to come down, can some other guys step up? Can a Aaron Anderson, can a Brian Thomas, can a Chris Hilton step up? I think they're going to. And Jane Daniels just blew up and is going to blow up again. He is now finally comfortable. You saw what he did to this defense, to this team last year, and his first game as a starter, first game under the system. He's now a year in, and he's probably as comfortable as he'll ever be. So I really do have confidence in this offense, and I think the defense with Harold Perkins in the middle now will be able to hold up the run and stop him on third downs. LSU is going to win and cover the 2.5.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is easily the best game of the weekend. Like, it's not even a question. I weirdly kind of like that it's on Sunday. I like that it's kind of a one-off for everything because you have the full day on Saturday. You kind of get caught up in some things, and then you have probably the big game on Sunday. So, yeah, man, look, I could see it going both ways, but I am kind of just leaning Florida State right now. So, I don't know. Maybe I just hate LSU still. You do.
It's okay. Just admit it. It's fine. Yeah, it's fine. Listen, middle to the state is just going to beat Bama. Okay, that's what's going to happen. Yeah, right.
Look, okay, listen. If that happened,
let me just ask you this. I don't know. What would have to happen? What would have to go wrong, Mason, for Middle Tennessee to beat Bama this weekend?
Jesus would have to return back to Earth and take everybody back up with him. And yeah, I think that's really about it. I don't know. Maybe Alabama's locker room just gets blown up like 5 minutes before the game starts or something. But yeah, I don't think there's much of a chance.
Starting quarterback. Call it now.
Jalen Milroe. I'm pretty confident. I'm pretty confident it's Milroe. I've started to grow on him a little bit. I was very down on him coming into the season and last year too, honestly. I just think he's going to provide the better opportunity for what Alabama wants to be this year on offense. Everybody's saying it's just going to be ground and pound. You're going to rely on your running game, your defense, your O-line. So I think Milroe does kind of provide the better ability to do that. And honestly, the thing about the other two is that out of the three of them, nobody's really stepped up and kind of won the job. So when you're looking at it like that, you kind of have to go with who has the better special ability, and that's Jalen Milroe with his ability to run the ball. So I do think it's going to end up being him. It wouldn't surprise me if he lost at some point in the season, but I do think it's going to be Milroe.
Milroe week one, do you think it's going to be him the rest of the way?
I am going to say yes.
All right. So. You heard it here first.
In my eyes, yeah, I think obviously he's going to win this game. And then I think he'll be quarterback for week two. And then I think we beat Texas week two. And if he puts on a decent show against Texas, I don't think he'll lose the game. Or I don't think he'll lose the job at all by the end of the season.
All right. Well, that's it for us. Week one will be here soon. You'll probably hear this on Wednesday. It's coming up Thursday night. Florida and Utah, as well as Nebraska and Minnesota. And then you got the rest of the weekend to enjoy college football. Coming back for the first time since last year. Hope everybody enjoys it. And we will be back here Tuesday night to react to all the news, all the plays, all the games from this past week one. Hope everybody has a great rest of the time. See you later.